Botswana. So from a geological perspective, exploration potential, metallurgical perspective, commercial perspective, notwithstanding the difficult environment at the moment, in the sector as a whole, it seems to be a very prime opportunity. Is it a land grab? Well, it would be, but for the fact that we're planning to commence work on the licenses very shortly. The key to this is that we push this forward in terms of technical knowledge and understanding as quickly as we can and as much as we can. The more data we can collect about the licenses, and we have a lot already based on MOD's historical work, the more data we can collect and the more widespread the mineral system we can demonstrate, then the higher the value when the time comes when people start to look at this type of copper project again seriously. But from all different angles and perspectives, it's ticking all the boxes commercially and geologically. And we have committed £70,000 to acquiring our interest in it, which is quite unusual. And then we have our third asset, which is Spain. Spain is run by a company called MEN Finland, Men Finland. It's a bit unusual, but they've been working in Spain for a few years. They started working in Finland and decided Finland was too cold in the winter and they needed somewhere warm. Literally. So they started to look somewhere else they could send their field team to. And they came across Spain. They have a couple of Spanish geologists who are also very knowledgeable of the licensing processes in Spain. And we acquired a right to earn into 50% of the Logrosan project, which includes three licenses, gold and tungsten, focused in Logrosan itself, Zurita and San Cristobal. They've undertaken a large amount of surface work over the last few years. They've done some sampling, some trenching, and various kind of bits and pieces of surface, but they've never penetrated the ground in any serious way, so we bought them a little drill rig. They had a number of targets, key targets 1 to 4 on the two main licenses at Logrosan and Zurita, and they had a map showing where they wanted to drill, and we just said stick holes in the ground, 20-30 meter deep holes with a small drill rig, which they've been doing over 2015, and exactly in line with their predictions, the mineralization came back with up to 0.63% tungsten, which I understand is good grade. They consider industrial grade to be above 0.1. So we're finding good high-grade tungsten. We found our first gold in the Zurita license recently, and we publicised that. But the key thing for us at the moment is the tungsten. They believe the tungsten goes to some great depth, but we don't know. So in 2016, we have to punch a few deeper holes. If we find the tungsten at depth, we have a very, very attractive asset in Spain. So we've got, as I say, a potentially substantial production opportunity, which could be classed as near-term, although everyone argues about what near-term means. Some people think it's next week, but we're looking at a couple of years here. We've got an asset which one would hope within a couple of years, as the sector turns around, could have quite tremendous value. It already does have a significant value, as the recent analyst report that was released last week, they've stuck a figure just in respect of really this, our interest as it stands, at give or take a couple of pence a share, so more than twice the current market price of the stock. Who knows? Everyone would have a different opinion. But that's a very key strategic asset for us in Spain. If we demonstrate at depth that there's tungsten and it isn't just in the top 20 or 30 metres, we have a very significant tungsten asset here. So we're reasonably diversified in terms of our countries of operation, different degrees of risk and challenge. We're diversified in terms of our commodity focus, so we have a mix of different things that we're looking for. But in each case, in each of the three projects, we have opportunities that could tremendously increase in value in the relatively near term and drive the value of this business dramatically higher than where it is. The best indication I've got of this is that one of the most cynical people I know in the business, our chairman, paid £240,000 into the company a few weeks ago in December at 0.8 pence a share. And he doesn't spend his money on anything. I buy most of his drinks, actually. But he put £240,000 in. I asked him why, what's his main reason, and his main reason is, surprisingly, he thinks he's going to make a lot of money from it. And he's done it multiple times before. So we're hugely excited. This is our business. Now, there is a possibility we could stick something else in here. We're a bit concerned that if we have too much, we're going to look so spread that people will panic about our financing costs. This is very moderate at the moment in terms of our costs. It's all controllable, it's all stoppable. This cost is very low in the early part of 2015 and isn't a dramatic cost as we move forward at 16, and won't be a dramatic cost as we move forward. And here, again, we've paid the vast majority of our €500,000 to acquire 50%. So going forward, the amount of spend is pretty much within our control. We don't do deals based on heavy fixed cost commitment. We do fund or dilute transactions in every case. We can stop our expenditure if we need to, whether that be central costs or operational costs. Most of our partners and most of the other people that we engage with are in the same resource environment. They don't suddenly have vast amounts of capital that they want to inject into things tomorrow to dilute us to death. So we're pretty comfortable and confident with the structure of the business. There is something that we could possibly drop in here. What we're more likely to do is actually start to feed some of our enormous pipeline of opportunities into other vehicles. And at the moment we have strong relationships with a couple of, dare I say, ISDX vehicles, but that are, majority of our discussions are with AIM vehicles that are looking for new directions and opportunities. So because primarily Terry, but also through London, through our own connections, we have so many different opportunities, we might start to farm them into different companies and then take equity positions in exchange for the providing them with new opportunities, because it all builds the underlying value of the company and gives us extra working capital. We'll carry on our trading and we'll make money where you know, we see an opportunity, but we will not publicise. We'll do it with half year and full year, but in all of our discussions going forward in the market, we're going to be focused on these areas of operations. All of them will be active and operational in 2016. And there'll be news flow coming out to market. And if we fall fortunate with any one of these in the next couple of years, our investors should make a lot of money. If we're lucky enough to get two of these into significant advancement, then we'll make a tremendous amount of money. And if we get all three, then it will be too much to believe.
Do you think the company's taken a different direction now from what you've just mentioned? 100%. From like two years ago, what you were doing.
Yeah.
So now, looking like a mining company.
We always raise when we don't need it, so that we're comfortable. And it's the best time to raise money. Chairman throwing in a bit of money enabled us to be a bit more kind of sexy on the MOD investment and put some money in directly into MOD. And a couple of other things in the background. But now these are big. And what excites me as I'm a private investor, really, chartered accountant and private investor, what excites me is that each of these could drop some fabulous developments at any time because we're active in each area. And the value of the company at the moment simply doesn't reflect the potential of the business or its underlying assets as they sit at the moment. And that's what people need to see.
There's going to be a catalyst somewhere. So the markets will look at it, and it's going to go.
Shares. I think they're all piling after I bought.
Especially it. Yes, you've spent some money, yeah.
Yeah, but it just goes down when I buy. So, there'll be a catalyst in here. somewhere.
Look, it's got to be.
If you look at the NMX 1770, which I think I quoted last time, which is the FTSE 350 miners, it started the year, a year ago it was 13,000, went up to 15,000 when we had a bit of a blip, and now it's down to 6,100. So your mid-tier, decent-sized mining companies on the exchange are down by 55% in the last year. If you look at the AIM, explorers, the small-cap companies, most of them are down 75-80% in the last year. In the last year, we're flat. So our relative performance is fab. Our absolute performance is about as demoralising as you could imagine, because you're bolting on these things here and you're doing the work. I mean, Botswana started in August when I first did the original transaction agreement was August, and it took months to go through the due diligence. And you do all that work and you know you're sat potentially on something that's life-changing personally with the investment in the company. And You release the information to market, and because when it gets released, the market's on a bit of a downer, there's no reaction. I noticed someone on the discussion board, someone sent me a quote, someone saying they're a bit upset because the share price hasn't moved. And they're thinking, you know, maybe they need to look somewhere else. And actually, our relative performance versus the market's brilliant. Absolute is flat. And I don't believe it's going to stay flat. I just can't. The more we can publicise what we do here, and the more progress here, and the more we can do in each of these areas, then that people will start to see. Now, we may need to do some bit of corporate trickery in terms of if this suddenly becomes dramatic, if our initial drill data comes back and demonstrates the what we think is there and the size and magnitude of this, then we might need to think about, blimey, that, you know, this is enormous and is worthy of its own vehicle and so on. And if we get to that stage, we'll do it. But at the moment, I quite like having three projects within the mix. I think it gives enough risk management for our investor base to have the trio of projects, maybe the fourth. So that's where we are. We're active in the field right now at the moment, and the stuff that's being done and hopefully will come to market on Thailand, both generally and also in respect of the work that we're doing here, the first stage of which is the option. Botswana, there'll be active operations on the ground all the way through 16, news flow from the off, and we'll keep feeding that out to market. Our partners in both cases understand the need for us to feed regular news, material news to market. And Spain, they're back in Spain, they're working now. We'll be going to see them very soon again, and they'll be pushing forward. If we can augment our interest and add more in each of these areas, we'll do it. But our acquisitions now will be focused on the three key projects areas and the three countries, building on the existing team that's in place. Most of the cost of this stuff in the early days is on your team. Once your team's already there, you can bring additional licenses and opportunities in. It doesn't cost a huge amount of money to do that because you've got the infrastructure already in place. So these will probably grow in size and diversification as well. But at the moment, that's going to be our focus. I would jump up and down like a kid in the sweetie shop if you knew what was in my head right now with this and what I see on a regular basis. I went to the mine for the third time 10 days ago. I came out of the mine, and it's a bit of a relief when you come out of the mine, you know, the light at the end of the tunnel, because you're down there for a long time, because they take you down the windy kind of declines all the way to the bottom. And at the bottom is a 2 kilometre long straight road where all the trucks take the ore. Because they dig the ore out and drop it down holes into a pile at the bottom. And then the trucks go along the road and pick up the ore and take it out. And when you actually come out, it's quite nice because Thailand's 35 degrees at the moment. It's winter, so it's quite cool. You go down, it's 20, 22 degrees. It's quite pleasant. And the enormity of this thing just gets you. And I said to the team, it's the third time I've been down and I feel just as excited about the potential here as I did the first time. It's an amazing thing. And what the problem is, you sit in these kind of dark room on a cold Walsall night and you just can't picture it. So we're doing some stuff at the moment some media stuff for each of these big projects to try and take people inside and show them the kind of stuff that we're doing. And I assure you that if you actually saw this yourself and the other stuff that we're doing as well, and chatted with the teams and so on, you would be jumping up and down with excitement the same as I am.